have known about prophetic words for years that have been out there about the passing of Billy Graham. And, you know, if you haven't seen some of those words, really the gist of the words are when Billy Graham dies, we will enter the greatest harvest that the world has ever seen. And there will be a power evangelism will be released again. And one thing that I want you to understand, though, there won't be another man like Billy Graham. What's happening is a mantle is being passed to you. What one man did, now there's going to be thousands of people operating in evangelism anointing. So don't be looking for anybody great. Now, that doesn't mean there won't be some great people, but the point is, I believe it's symbolic of the fact that a generation is arising that will all move under that mantle, but even greater because we'll have signs and wonders following it. So I'm convinced that that is the case. But here's the thing. Here is likely to be the church's stance when they read that prophetic word. Well, I'm waiting on a harvest. Waiting on souls. I'm waiting on people to come to church and get saved. Waiting on harvest. They said it was coming. We'll get up in the morning, look out the window and say, I don't see any. Where's it at? Well, see, you can't have harvest without laborers. The scripture says in Matthew 9:37-38, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful. Say, the harvest is plentiful. So you know that means there's no problem with harvest. The harvest is not the issue. I wasn't intending on saying this, but I'm already prophesying to you. You need to let that's revelation. Harvest is not the problem. Laborers are the problem. People sitting on their blessed assurance in church on Sunday morning is the problem. People waiting for preachers to go out and do the work of the ministry is the problem. So he said the harvest is plentiful. There's not an issue with the harvest. But he said you have to pray and beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. So if it is the season of harvest, if we're going to reap harvest, laborers have to be sent forth. For laborers to be sent forth, they must be mature. For them to be mature, they must be equipped. And why are they being equipped? They must know that they have gifts operating in their life and know how to use them. And we'll say that to you again. We will miss harvest. No, harvest will go on, but we will not be participants. We can watch someone else reap harvest. But so we've got to transition a model of church to where the goal is to send forth laborers. So now if we're going to be able to send forth laborers, we cannot send them unless they're mature, and they cannot be mature unless we shift the way the church operates and then make the church about teaching and equipping them to go forth. See, we got to get out of the old wineskin of coming to church to get a blessing. It's not in the scripture. You come to the church, the local house, to get equipped, discover your gifts, so you can be sent. If you're just coming to church and sitting in a seat, the harvest is not going to happen. So we have to begin to shift the mindset of the church to a place of equipping and maturing people, not blessing people. Yes. Now, do you know how you get equipped? I know you don't like this, but it's just a fact. See, we've got a bless me model of church that wants us to come in and make us want you, you know, you want it to make you feel good. But an equipping model. Now, see, I'm not going into this message, Lord, but do you see, how did you raise your children? if they weren't doing the thing right. Okay, I want you to see your children now. They're sitting down to eat. They've got a fork. And they've got the prong end over here. And they've got the handle here. And they're trying to eat. What would you do? You'd do what? I bet you'd walk over and say, no, man, not like that, like that. See, let me show you here. It works better if you do it like this. Now, what if I told you that we get offended in the house of the Lord if I do that to you? Does it offend you when somebody tells you what you're doing wrong? Then 40 years from now, you'll be gone. We have to shift our mindset in the house of God to where we understand the purpose of the house is not to bless you. The purpose is to train you. And that means discovering your gifts. And that means if you're going to be trained, anything I've ever been trained in, somebody said, you're doing it wrong. And what we do when somebody says, you're doing it wrong, I hate this job. I hate this place. Nobody loves me. And we leave. But you see, the house in here is not where you do ministry. I don't know why I'm telling you all this. You don't do ministry in here. You get trained to do ministry in here. I'm not called to, I'm not going to say that. My goal for you is for you to be in the ministry. And actually, I've got my goal for you is to be in ministry more than it is for you to like me. Now, in a perfect world, we get both. You think I'm the greatest thing on earth, and you get into the ministry. I'm going to take me forever. I'm not in a hurry today. I'm going to be strictly 100% a teacher today and probably for the next few weeks. Because the harvest is coming. But if you don't learn what your role is in the harvest. If I asked you how many gifts are in the Bible, what would you say? Thank you. You've been a long-term student. But 9 times out of 10, you good Pentecostals. There's 9, brother. There's 9. 20-some gifts that the Holy Spirit can be using you in. And probably already is, and you've just never known that that was Him. So I believe that I'm going to spend some time over the next few weeks explaining to you the gifts and what you could possibly be called to operate in. Would you like to know those things? Would you like to figure out? See, let me tell you this. Some people sit around and think, I don't have no gifts. It's not possible. You do. But you haven't been taught and recognized how the Holy Spirit is operating in you. Now, here's the thing. If we're going to operate in these gifts and be able to be sent forth into the harvest, if we're going to be able to do that, all of that, first of all, happens when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit. But being the good Pentecostal young man that I am, I know that when I grew up in church, being baptized in the Holy Spirit was the crescendo of the Christian faith. Now that you've spoken tongues, you're on a different plane than everybody else, and you can go back to just living your horrible life and sit on a pew, because after all, you spoke in tongues one time. I'm telling you, folks, I grew up in it. Oh, yes, I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But see, the teaching that we were under placed so much emphasis on that. But what I've got to get you to see before I can take you through the gifts that can operate in your life is the first thing is the baptism in the Holy Spirit is not the end, it's only the beginning. So when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, it's just the... Okay, if you could see it this way. There is this room, there is this warehouse that's got thousands and thousands and thousands of goodies in it. And you can pull up in your car. What's it got in there? Goodies. And you can pull up in your car to the parking lot. You can sit out in your car. And the goodies are in there. There's Pepsi in there, I bet. Ooh, Lord have mercy. There's fishing reels in there. Even garlic knots, glory to God. Oh, you know there's fried chicken in there. But see, if all that stuff can be available to me, but I've got to go through the door to enter the warehouse. Now, on the other hand, I might get out of my car. I told you I'm in teach mode. I could get out of my car, okay, and go in the door. And just stand there. Am I benefiting from anything on those shelves? Now, this is the way we've treated the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is the entry point. That's when you went through the door and you stepped into thousands and thousands and thousands of things made available to you. But what we did when we got the baptism in the Holy Spirit is said, I spoke in tongues. Now I'm part of an elite group. But never accessed what we could access because of that. Now the other thing is, many people spoke in tongues once. In the Pentecostal church, we have not really understood what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. All they told us is, well, you need to speak in tongues. So we spoke in tongues, but most of us never graduated to praying in tongues. So we actually just stepped through the door. But there's a warehouse full of supernatural things that can only be accessed when you learn to pray in tongues, not just speak in tongues once. So before I can take you into understanding many of the gifts that are in operation in Scripture, I first got to get you to understand that you have on the inside of you, who in here has ever spoken in tongues? Dang, this is not a Baptist church, is it? Who in here prays in tongues every day of your life? Less people. Therein lies the issue in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who in here prays in tongues for 1 hour consecutively a day? I only say two hands. Oh, Holy Spirit, come in this room. There's only two hands of people who pray for 1 hour in tongues every day. And then you wonder, what's wrong in America? But you got the Holy Ghost. I got the Holy Ghost down in my soul. It's doing me no good at all. Because I don't use it. I got a key to a big warehouse and I just leave it on my desk. What? You don't pray in tongues every day? Now, a lot of Pentecostals don't know they can. I want to get ahead of myself. A lot of Pentecostals, I ain't going there yet. So let me teach you some things before I can show you gifts that may be operating in your life. Anybody having fun yet? Welcome to Bible College. Because I'm more concerned about teaching you than I am blessing you. Because if I teach you, I will have been a blessing to you. If I can get 100 people that pray in tongues 1 hour a day, we won't be in the small part of that building down there. We'll be in the big part. There's 2 people in here that pray in tongues 1 hour a day. Well, three. I didn't raise my hand. So I want to show you some things. But now here's what you say. And I'm going to help you with some of this teaching. Anybody got any Baptist friends? Probably some people in here being Baptist or are Baptist. I don't care about that. But I want to give you some teaching maybe you never got. And I want to give you good Pentecostals teaching that you can explain this thing to them. Because I believe we've got the baptism in the Holy Spirit and don't even know what it is. So, here would then would be the argument. I got the Holy Spirit when I got saved. Is that true? So, people who don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit say, I already got the Holy Spirit when I got saved. Now, what do you say? Probably that's what you say. Well, let's look at Scripture. See, here's what I want to do. I not only want to teach you, but I want you to be able to teach others. So I want to show you in Scripture where there's two different experiences. Because when they come at you with that, you don't know where to go in Scripture to tell them. Why, y'all, how come you believe you can speak in tongues? Oh, no, brother. And then about 20 minutes into conversation, they start getting you mad, and you say, listen, you idiot, I'm just telling you. I can't tell you why I do it, but I'm going to do it. Leave me alone. I don't want to be your friend no more. Who in here has ever had that conversation? Well, let's look at something here. You do have the Holy Spirit when you get saved. But there's two different experiences. Watch this now. John chapter 20, verse 19. So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were, who was it? Disciples. For fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. Okay, let me ask you this. Were the disciples, when did disciples get saved? When did the disciples get saved? They couldn't have got saved until he had already died. When did they get saved? Watch. So Jesus has already been crucified. He's now been resurrected. And he shows back up and he's walking the earth. And he pops himself right in the middle of the place where the disciples are. Now watch what he does. He shows up. He says, peace be with you. And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he said this, he breathed on them, and what did he say to them? You mean that Jesus had already given the Holy Spirit before the day of Pentecost? It's in the book. Now I see big eyes going, oh my goodness. Jesus walked in and said, receive the Holy Spirit. But, now see, if we're in certain persuasions of the faith, that's where we stop. Because even people who don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit believe that when you get saved, Jesus goes, and the Holy Spirit comes to live inside you. But he didn't. So these were the disciples. Keep that in mind. So after he has been resurrected, he's not yet even ascended. He comes in, he blows on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. Guess what happened to them? They just got saved. They weren't saved up until this point. They came into salvation right there. The Holy Spirit came to live on the inside of them, made a change in them. Now then when we move on to Acts chapter 1 verse 2, look what it says. It says, until the day when he was taken up, after he had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. So he's sitting here still talking to the ones that he breathed on and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Do you agree? This is the same people that he's already said receive the Holy Spirit. You agree? I'm trying to help you teach your friends. Until the day when he was taken up, after he had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a 40-day period. So Jesus dies on the cross, is resurrected, comes back and hangs out with everybody for 40 days. In that 40 days, he breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Ghost. And so for 40 days he hangs out, speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God, gathering them together. He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but wait for what the Father had promised. Hello. But they already received the Holy Spirit. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. But he said, no, guys, you got to stay here. Anybody learning yet? He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. He said, you heard it from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they were asking him, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times, which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and even to the uttermost parts of the earth. Did you catch that? So he's already caused them to receive the Holy Spirit, but now he's saying you got to hang out here until the Holy Ghost comes up on you, and when he comes upon you, you will now receive power and become witnesses, harvesters, ones who go forth to see harvest. Can you clearly see now there's two different things? He already said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now he's saying, go hang out in the upper room till the Holy Spirit comes on you. Two different things. Are you seeing it? Now, here you go. Tony loves this and we'll do it just for you. She mentioned this sometime the other day. So you, just as I am without one plea, you walk down the aisle, you accept Jesus Christ in your heart, the Holy Spirit comes right there. This is you saved. See all that water in there? That's Holy Spirit. That's salvation. It's quiet in here. Welcome to class. I love it. That's you when you're saved. But that's not the end. For many people, that is the end. They do have Holy Spirit in them. This is you. See, that's me. That's Holy Spirit inside of me. Happened at the new birth. But here's what happens with the second experience. You go there. Now there's not just water in you, but now you're in water. Hold up, I didn't go do that. Nah. Too many props go bad in church. This is you saved. Are you going to heaven? Yes. But he said, after I've done this for you, go wait, because the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you and I'm going to baptize you in Holy Ghost. Man, I hope he prayed before he went. Do you see that? This is so now the water's in you. Holy Spirit is in you, but now You've been immersed in Him. You've gone to another dimension. You've gone from being wet on the inside to being wet all over. Now let me show this to you again. I love this. One of my favorite topics on planet Earth. Now let me show it to you again. Do you understand that? Did you get something out of that? Well, now let me show you this. John 4:14. Jesus is speaking to the woman at the well. What did he tell the woman at the well? Whoever drinks of the water that I give him shall never thirst. But the water that I give him will be a well of water springing up to eternal life. Salvation. A well of water begins to spring up on the inside of you. Something's flowing on the inside of you. That's why you don't want to do some of the things you used to want to do, because something is in there. It's like Prego. It's in there. So when Jesus met the woman at the well, when he said this, he said, I'm going to bring you, what he's saying here is, I'm going to bring you to salvation. It's going to be a well springing up in you. Now watch. Then in John 7:37, now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Same conversation he had with the woman at the well. I'll give you a drink of water, you'll never thirst again. It'll be a well in you springing up. He said, if anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture says, from his innermost being will flow rivers of water. This he spake of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given. We've went from a well springing up to rivers coming out of you. I want you to get that in your mind right now, folks. Not just a river. Rivers coming out of you. Now, in this house, I have fought for years, thrown chairs in my mind, thrown drums right out in the middle of the congregation. Greatest battle of my life to get people to do something in church and quit sitting and looking at me. Well, why would I want them to do that? Why is it different when you enter worship in this house now? Why are people getting delivered in this house? Now watch it. Why would I not be okay every Sunday? Don't you hear me say, open up your mouth and pray in tongues and lift your voice? Some of you, it's just like a root canal for you. Why do I want you to do that? There are rivers, plural, in her. There are rivers, plural, in him. There are rivers, plural, in her. Do you want to see the lame walk, the deaf hear, and the blind see in your house of worship? Then quit damming up your river. Because when you begin to pray in tongues out loud as a corporate congregation, all of those rivers begin to come out of each person at the same time. And now we have something going on in here that the devil cannot stand in. If he comes in, it just washes him away. If there's 100 people in here, there could possibly be thousands of rivers being released, because every person has rivers flowing through them. And if you sit on a pew and you don't release the Holy Spirit out of you, why am I always trying to say, lift your voice, lift your voice, lift your voice. Pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. Cause rivers. Oh my Lord, Tim, I've heard that all morning. All morning I've heard that phrase, tsunamis are coming. Tsunamis of revival are crashing on the shore. Would you like to have revival? Well, number one, you better start praying in tongues an hour a day. But another thing, when you come into corporate worship, you need to start releasing that, because your rivers, if we put all our rivers together, it becomes a powerful force. Is the ocean made up of lots of rivers? Is that true? Wow. Oh, baby. I want you to get that. We could have an ocean in here, folks. Because every one of us have rivers in us. But you release the rivers that are in you through your prayer tongue. So why don't I want you talking about everything in the world 15 minutes before church starts? Have you noticed that we don't have to do much to get Jesus in here? You know why? Because I shut you up and got you to pray in tongues for those 15 minutes, and the rivers are already in here. So when Bubba comes late, Bubba's stepping into something that he knows immediately, oh boy, there's something in there. There are people who come in here and say, when I walk in the door, I can't hardly stand up. Well, why is that? Because we've begun to cultivate an atmosphere where the rivers are flowing out of the people before we ever start. Hello? No, the preacher's mean. He don't want us to fellowship. No, I want a river of God. I want an ocean in here where the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear. You can put in out over there. Drink you some coffee. We got you a new Keurig. We can get you some coffee over there. But in here, I'm not wanting you to do that. I'm wanting you to pour out in here, not pull in. So that an atmosphere is here, so that when your neighbor that you brought doesn't know Jesus comes in, he immediately thinks, what must I do to be saved? He immediately says, woe am I, for I'm unclean. Lord, cleanse me. You're releasing the rivers out of you. Do you see now? Could you go now and show somebody? There was two different things that happened. Now here's where I'm trying to get you to, though. Even though two different things happened, it is possible for you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you've proved it to me today. You're not doing a thing with that. And here's what I've got to get you to see, because we're going on a journey here. I'm going to show you a lot about different gifts. But you don't operate, you're not probably getting word of wisdom, word of knowledge, all those things. Why are you not getting them? You ain't praying in tongues. You just stopped. If you start praying in tongues, you will prophesy. If you pray in tongues an hour a day and you don't prophesy, I'll give you a $100 bill. Now, this is, I'm getting ahead. I'm going to teach you about prophecy. But what is prophecy? Lord, I ain't going there yet. Can't go there, Lord. If you pray in tongues, the other gifts will start operating in your life. But see, we got another issue. Most of the church hasn't really wanted the gifts to operate in their life because they thought all they're supposed to do is come and sit on their blessed assurance anyway and pay their tithes and be quiet and don't cause trouble. But see, I'm trying to give you a reason. I'm trying to get you to see that there's a reason you need to begin to pray in the Spirit. Because you're not intended to sit on a pew. You're just coming here to be trained. You know what you should do here? Learn how to prophesy. So that means if you jump up one Sunday morning and say, yea, saith the Lord, I will bake thee a cake, then that's okay. You can learn here. That's a story I heard. A man jumped up one time and said, yea, saith the Lord, I will bake thee a cake. You know what? I've laughed about that my whole life. And one day it dawned on me, the man really had a prophetic word from the Lord. And no doubt about it in my mind now. But you got to begin to be a person who exercises prayer in the Spirit. See, now let's tie this in. We believe the greatest harvest the world has ever seen is coming. But it's contingent upon laborers being sent forth who have been trained and equipped to know how to function in what the Holy Spirit has put in them. And the first way that they begin to be equipped is to begin to exercise every day that prayer language. I don't want to get ahead of myself, Lord. So, I'm not in a hurry. I've only been here about 20, 30 minutes. You can handle it. So now let's look. Now I want to show you some things and some benefits and some things that will show you why it's important for you to begin not just to pray in the Spirit once in a while. First of all, though, so Jesus told them, I want you to hang out, I want you to wait in Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. Something's going to come. The Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. He's already came in you, but he's going to come upon you. And here's what it says. So they're waiting. Here comes Holy Ghost. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And what did they do? They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. So then, speaking in tongues is the evidence that you've been baptized in Holy Spirit. Now, as I told you, what most of us do is once we do that, we're like, "Ooh, man, that was fun." And we stop. But we're missing the warehouse that is stocked full of things that we need. Ah, goodness. I know you're nice, kind-hearted people. So if I told you right now there was a warehouse stocked with stuff that you need, some of you would be thinking about your neighbor that needs some of the stuff, wouldn't you? See? When you begin to pray in the Spirit, you now have access to some things in that warehouse that you can give to somebody else. But if you're not praying in the Spirit on a regular basis, you don't have anything to give your neighbor. You don't have any power flowing through you. You can't meet their needs. And the way we're going to see harvest is for a group of people in the church to go outdoors and meet the felt needs of the people. They really need Jesus, but all they know is they got pain in their back right now. But because I have begun to tap into the warehouse that I have through praying in tongues, when I go out and they say, "I got a backache," I say, "Ooh, I just went to the warehouse and pulled some of that out." Be healed in Jesus' name. They're healed. Now they say, "What must I do to be saved?" We met their felt need to get to their real need. But see, we ain't gotten to, are you carrying anything? See, if you're not praying in the Spirit, you're no different than anybody else. But I tell you what, I guarantee you, to start praying in tongues an hour a day and then go to Walmart. You just go through the drive-thru at Tooters and they give you an extra biscuit. Because there's something on you. They sense something about you. They start telling you about their problems. Hello. Because you've been to the warehouse. There's something on the inside of you. The gifts that He's placed in you are flowing. The gifts make room for you. Your gift will make room for you. It's quiet in here. So the